Disclaimer time. This is where I tell everyone to lighten up. It's just a podcast. Trading is like that roller coaster at the amusement park. Thrilling, unpredictable, and potentially stomach churning. What works for one person might leave another clutching their hat in the wind. Our hosts and guests, they're awesome, knowledgeable, full of insights, but we're not financial advisors. So don't rush to make any investment decisions based solely on our banter. Always consult with a professional or do your own research. Plus, let's face it, we like to have fun, laugh, enjoy the trading ride together. It's all in the name of good podcasting fun. So remember, take it easy, don't bet the farm, and keep your seatbelts on at all times. Thank you for listening. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the China Shop, home of the Band of Traders podcast. I'm Kyle, and today we've got a twofer. We have Josh and Brian from thefuturesdesk.com. How are you guys doing? I assume launch is probably keeping you pretty busy, huh?
Yeah, we're pretty swamped. we did do an invite-only launch, so we were able to kind of pace how many traders come into the program. So that's contained things, but there's still a lot going on.
That's actually a really smart way to doing it. I like the way that it's kind of the same way like Gmail did it, right? When they first
exactly.
launched.
Exactly. I was one of those beta invite people.
Ah, so you remember like the feeling of like, I want to get one of those invites, right?
Sure do. I think I even have a blog post from the early 2000s asking if anybody needs one.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's me now. I'm using my invites in our group. I think we're going to auction them up for M period challenges we do on Fridays.
Oh, cool. Yeah. Let us know if you need any more.
I will. Let's talk about the futures desk then. So tell me what you guys are doing there. What's the goal?
The goal is unsurprising. We're trying to get not only get traders into live brokerages trading our capital, but give them a system that's been completely home built to improve their trading along the way. So mm-hmm. as they get into the brokerage account, they have a system in place. They know the statistics, they know where they need to improve and maybe not trade or put more emphasis into trading. And, you know, we all benefit from that.
So you also have that, but you also have like the journaling, the integrations, like there's some really cool stuff that you guys have done with the platform.
Yeah. So, and I'll just add a little bit onto what Josh was talking about. So what we saw in the space, and this is really the reason Josh and I and everybody on the team put so much effort and thought into everything is because, you know, we're very passionate for trading because we've been trading for years, I think going on 5 years now. Mm-hmm. And in the space, it's a lot of money grab techniques, either through education or through the prop space and, you know, through the different ventures that we've been on and adventures we've been on. We've kind of realized that, you know, there's no real clear one structured path forward to a company that actually aligns itself with traders from the start. And then also we saw some deficiencies in the space when it comes to, you can either call them funding firms or prop firms. And, you know, there's a gap between, I would say, what a traditional prop firm is and what you see today as is what we call right. more like funding firms. So in that, we started really developing everything, and that kind of goes into the reasons we developed the things that we developed, and we handled the things we handled the way we did. So going into the journaling, what you mentioned is, the journaling was a very important component, and I think a lot of people underutilize journaling.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of reasons behind not journaling, and it's tedious, it's cumbersome.
It's scary too.
You tend to not want to journal after a long day, especially if you had a bad day trading, right? So by having automated journaling and having everything just done for you and making it as simple and easy as we could make it, we realized, you know, that was an area that was not really being worked on. So we worked on that. And again, another reason is because those traders that we have that we've seen be successful, including our in-house traders as well as us and traders we dealt with, because we did come from another company, you know, the main thing we saw is these guys did the work. And what we mean by the work is they did the journaling. They kept records. They identified key traits that they do, you know, maybe on Mondays and Tuesdays. And through that, we really tried to build tools first with that in mind. And that's kind of where we came in. And that was the thought process behind a lot of it.
I love that, man. I don't know how many times one of my co-hosts, Baba, he talks about the stats that he finds on himself, and I think he reviews them about once every 3 months or so. I think we learn things like Mondays and Fridays are not his best days, so he takes steps to, you know, protect himself, but it's having those stats and the journaling and those actions that allowed him to identify that and just give himself a little, you know, that little bit extra edge. there's two ways to make money in this game, right? That George Papazov always talks about. One way is to make more on your trades, and the other way is to lose less. And yeah. The lose less is the angle that I think people sleep on a lot too.
Yeah, and a bit with my background, I've spent the last 20-something years building processes for Fortune 50 companies, for local, state, and federal law enforcement. So my key area has always been, how do I find process, improve mm-hmm. process for people, put it in front of their face, make it enjoyable to use, and actually show you, hey, this, if you do the work here, here's the information you can get out of it. So that's been my focus.
You mentioned journaling as one of those key components. What are some of the other things then that you're proud to say that you guys have put the focus on?
So I think journaling is a term that is mostly associated with the charts and the statistics that come out of it, but not so much the introspection that you get when you're journaling while you're trading. So because our system is a bit different and because everything is real time, we're shoving that in your face. So when you're trading on our platform in real time, you're seeing your trade pop up. We're encouraging you and making it as easy as possible to do that work, because we know people don't like to take all their trades, write in a journal, maybe, you know, in a different program or on the paper, and then wait till later in the night, import their trades into a different system. Like, all these steps push you away from doing the work that you need to be doing.
So it also pushes you away from getting good data too, because if you wait 12 hours before you try to go back and try to think of what was I thinking in this moment, you're going to lose a lot of that.
Yeah, exactly. Just like hindsight is 20/20 when you're looking at charts. Right. It's the same thing when you're trading, like, oh no, I knew that was going to happen, or et cetera, et cetera. But if you're journaling while you're trading, you know, even if, let's just assume you didn't even look at it later, just by journaling and getting it out of your head and onto paper, you're committing to your thoughts in the moment. You're not, mm-hmm. you're not saying, oh no, I was thinking it would go that way. Why did I do that? No, you write it down and you make it official for yourself. And then there's definitely multiple levels to that, where, you know, we have a system where you can create setups and associate each of those trades with the setups, and now break down by setup what's working for you when it's not, not just as a whole, but categorically.
Yeah, I like that. I have played around with the setup tools, and not as much with the journaling, because I have kind of my own systems in place. Most of my journaling is introspective, as you mentioned. Like, I'm not necessarily caring so much about what the trade was, because I kind of have that information already. What I'm more interested in is, what was I thinking in this moment? Was I feeling FOMO here? Was this a revenge entry? Was I angry because I didn't want to be stopped out of this position? Like, those are the things that I think lately I've been finding that's where the biggest gains have been being made.
Yeah, and that is digging into part of what our journaling is offering, because there is a tagging system. And through that tagging system, you can then filter those type of things, where if you know potentially you have issues with FOMO, and then all of a sudden you find, hey, show me all my FOMO trades or FOMO feelings, right, mm-hmm. related to your journaling. You can then dig into the data to be like, oh my gosh, I FOMO trade almost always on Mondays. What is it about Mondays that correlate to my FOMO trading? What is it, right? And it lets you really dig deep into that. And then additionally, through having those key metrics, you can figure out how to actually make a plan to address those issues. So if you have FOMO on Monday, then maybe you take trades without hesitation off the table. Like, no, I'm not allowed to just jump into a trade. I have to have a fully laid out plan. I have to trade after this set time. And then now you're making it more about following rules and taking away some of those initial reactions, those spontaneous decisions that you make, and you're making it more in the moment kind of thing. You're being self-aware, which is very beneficial. And it's not like you're going to improve overnight, but if you have that on your daily, let's say, goal every day, and you're making that at the forefront of what you're working on, and then you're able to look at the data and how that impacts your trading, let's say, hey, filter out every single FOMO trade tag that I had, and then all of a sudden you're seeing an uptick in your win rate by 5-6%, right. That's huge, right?
Yeah.
And that's the type of stuff traders don't really look at. And what we've seen, what I've done, what most traders have done, is you've jumped strategy to strategy. You find something doesn't work for about a week, 2 weeks, and you're like, oh, this isn't a very good strategy. But overall, what you're failing to realize is there's strategies that only work during certain time periods, mm-hmm. Like the opening range breakout. There's certain months that it's just terrible. And it's right. weird because you statistically can go back 10 years and you're going to find the data that supports like, hey, it just does not work in this month. Mm-hmm. And then through that data and the collection, and hopefully you do all that collecting, you're able to figure out when those strategies should work, when they don't work. And then another nice thing that you could do is you could forward test strategies as well. And we'll be adding that feature in later through test accounts. And, you know, it's just providing that tooling and then educating people to be like, use it, because it's a huge, huge edge in itself. So hopefully more people understand how much value there is in journaling and analytics and tagging. And, you know, those are just some of the things. And we have a lot more planned.
Those are some of the things that, yeah, you mentioned. But what are some of the other things then that the people get if they switch to you? What platforms are you on? What makes you stand out then from like the apexes and top steps of this world?
Well, I would say, you know, a lot of the funding firms are going to be very similar in nature, right? Mm-hmm. And this is what they generally do when somebody comes out. They don't offer anything that's different. They just change pricing. They rename it. They call it, you know, directed funded or whatever, right? That's their game.
Yep.
That's how they attract customers. And a lot of these people look at return on investment, right? And I can give you a perfect example of return on investment that everybody thought was a stellar deal. They would even pay for your platform for a year and do all kinds of crazy stuff. But the reality was a lot of people got no return on their investment because they spent a bunch of money. And then in turn, that company folded and just disappeared on them, right?
Yeah.
So with us, you know, one of the things that we're trying to change is, one, we're trying to do everything the best to our ability from the start. Mm-hmm. That starts with the ground up. When you come to us, you're going to be able to use your credit card, unlike some other firms. If you come to us, you're going to have customer support built directly into the platform that our goal is less than 5-minute response times during business hours. You're going to get more of a premium boutique service. Are we going to be the cheapest in the space? No, we're not. That's okay with us. Because what we're looking for is a long-term type of partnership with traders. Once they get in our ecosystem, they have access to the journaling, the analytics. They have access to our coaching, one-on-one coaching, and they also have access to our quant and his ability to backtest, which a lot of people don't backtest their strategies, or they don't do it over a large enough subset of you know, years and different variances. And, you know, it's not just the win rate. There's a lot of other factors that come into it.
Right.
Variance, so what keeps us apart from others is, one, our thought process that we put in. The path to funded versus other firms. Mm-hmm. You know, other firms, they generally keep you in SIM funded for a pretty prolonged amount of time. Where us, the difference
like
with us is
with them.
Yeah, with some ones, of them yeah. forever. And and what happens with that is there's a huge conflict of interest.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of, so my background is actually in investigative nature. I was an investigator with 13 years of experience, and ultimately, I ended up retiring due to a medical issue, and then I found trading, and I've been there since. So when I first got introduced to these funding firms and everything else, you know, I started seeing some strategies and things that they were doing to, I don't know the best way to explain it, but kind of
like
shady, right?
Yeah, they're
pretty shady
on
strategies,
emotions,
right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And they are encouraging gambling, i.e., you know, 20 accounts, right?
Yeah.
If somebody can't handle one account or two accounts, they probably shouldn't have 20 accounts. And that's not helping the trader in most situations. It's only hurting the trader.
That seems like that's just putting outsized risk on the company themselves, too. Like, why do you want to give somebody 20 accounts who's just barely proven anything?
Well, it's the bottom line, and I can explain why.
Yeah.
So
well, I know
their
why.
Cost associated with creating the one account is basically held at a certain point. Let's just say $40. And then any additional account only costs them $5. So they can, that first account costs them more, right?
Mm.
All subsequent accounts only cost them $5, which in turn, if they get 20
or
accounts,
less.
Guess what? Yeah, or less. Guess what? Now they get all those additional accounts for way less. It
right.
doesn't benefit the trader. Copy trading, as you know, isn't perfect. And in most cases, my own experience, and this is my opinion, but most of those guys that are copy trading aren't successful, so they're just blowing up 20-fold, right? And then the guys that really do have some type of edge or something like that, they're trading in those environments, and then once they get to that area where they're like, hey, I need a payout, now the company's like, well, you know, by the way, you know, bonds trading isn't allowed anymore, or this isn't allowed anymore, and it's like, here's a reason. Like, come on, I did investigations for years. I understand what's going on behind the scenes is, and you can actually look at some internal communication from a recent closure of a firm to understand what was going on. Is
I know, yep.
If somebody makes too much money, even though they made it fair and square, they're not going to pay them because they can't. They don't have the capital to pay them. So with us, our goal is, look, we have a set risk for each trader, right? So let's say you get in our ecosystem, they pass the assessment, we put them in the brokerage after they make their buffer period. Now that buffer period can be skipped if they did the work. And mm-hmm. What I mean by doing the work is they have statistics, they have their edge, they understand how many losses they can have in a row, they understand how that risk works, how much they can risk per trade. And we talk to them and it seems, hey, it's kind of like almost like an interview of sorts, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if they pass the interview, we'll just put them straight in the brokerage. We're taking that risk, $2,000-$3,000, whatever the risk is initially. And that's our risk. It's capped, you know. And now we can be on the same page and be on the team with the trader because, look, when they succeed, we succeed in the brokerage, right?
How do people know that they're actually going live then and not being stuck in a simulated environment?
Well, everybody eventually goes live, and mm-hmm. that will be based on one, and I think you've seen our plans and how they're made. It can go anywhere from 5 days all the way up to 12 days. Mm-hmm. So depending on which plan you pick will depend on how quickly you get into the live brokerage account, right? So after you pass the assessment, you then transition to a buffer period, which is like a live sim environment, live brokerage, or whatever you want to call it, right? Mm-hmm. And this is a kind of like a grace period, where you're moving to the next stage, and once you reach that buffer, you can then pull out money directly. But at that point, you are no longer in a live sim environment. You're being moved directly to the brokerage. So depending on how many days you sign up for initially will depend on how quickly you get in the brokerage, but I can tell you at least, and you may know a little bit more because you are a little bit more intimate in all the different companies that are around right now. But as far as if you pick the 5 days and then try and pass and everything's great, you can get to a funded account in 6 days, mm-hmm. right? I think that's the quickest to an actual live brokerage account in the space. I could be wrong.
Yeah, it might be. It might be. But there's also something more. I mean, if I start taking payouts from TopStep, let's just use them as an example because they're kind of the biggest name and most reputable in the space right now. Like that gets taxed a certain way, but it's not taxed the same way as if I was trading a live account, correct?
So with us, we've set it up. So you are trading our live account. So you are an employee slash contractor of ours. Mm-hmm. When you trade our accounts, and normally when you're doing that at almost any prop firm, and I'm talking about traditional as well as this new wave of funded programs, you're going to get 1099 if you're in America. So mm-hmm. you're going to get paid as a contractor, and that's worst case for your taxes, to be honest.
They kind of treat you like a consultant, right?
Yeah, I mean you are in a way still, and right. always. But when you reach $10,000 with us, whether in balance or in payouts, we offer American citizens to move to our funded company, which is a separate entity, and we can bring you on as an LLC partner at that company. And because of that, you get distributions, which is a K-1 benefit, which means the pass through for the 60/40 tax rule right. for futures will apply to you. So it's a pretty tremendous tax benefit for most people for how much actually makes it to your pocket. I did some math on it, and between that as well as the seats we have, we'll soon have leased at the exchanges, that'll lower the fee costs on the exchanges.
Right.
I think our round trip on NQ was last quoted at $2.30.
Oh,
which
wow.
Which is drastically lower. So those kinds of savings combined with the K-1 savings, we do have a 75%, 25% split, 75% trader, 25% us. But all in all, if you're getting 1099 and you didn't have seats on the brokerage, you know, it's almost the equivalent of getting 100% all the time.
It's that else. Big of a, it's that
yeah,
big
it's
of
that,
a haircut.
It adds up that much. Yeah. I think I did wow. like if you made $50,000 to $100,000 and then let's say you had another job making $30,000 or $40,000 mm-hmm. in most states, it ends up being about the equivalent. Of 100%, and that's not for a period of time. That would just be indefinite. So if you right. made 100, you know, if you stay with us a while and you're making good money, you'll continue to make that amount.
Okay.
Yeah, and just to add on to this split as well. So just like a traditional prop firm, you know, traditional prop firms, you get about the 30% split, meaning the trader gets 30%, then pays desk fees about $3,000, and then the rest goes to the firm. So with us, you know, the split's different. Of course, we're not the same as a in-person type of prop desk. However, those initial fees, as far as the profit split, I'm sorry, those are going to be adjusted dependent on the trader, right? Mm-hmm. As the trader spends time in our company, at that point, we can always renegotiate that partnership with them, and we can renegotiate that profit split. So it's not like that's a set in stone type of thing, but that's something we're always willing to work with traders, because we want to partner with good traders. And, you know, after a certain threshold, you know, we want to offer, you know, the different tool sets that we have, but as well as, hey, you know, let's say the profit split's now like 95-5 or something like that, you know, more in the realm of they're getting the majority of it and we're keeping them as our, one of our traders kind of thing, right? Mm-hmm. But our goal is ultimately to be able to sustain everything based purely on our profitable traders, which I don't think is really the case in space, right?
It seems like that should be the way they're all set up.
Yeah, I wish.
It's weird that we have to say that's revolutionary.
I know, right?
Yeah.
Well, so what steps are you taking to be able to continue paying out traders then? Let's say you get an influx of traders and they're successful. Like, what are you doing to prevent another FTT scenario?
Well, so we don't pay out of the sim environment. So the payouts all come from live brokerage. So, you know, sort of like how the gold standard used to be. Mm-hmm. All the capital that's being earned is being earned in a real market into a real account. So if you make $1 million, we're going to be, you know, again, that's super hypothetical. No one makes $1 million. It's hard to trade. I'm throwing out those things. Yeah, but if, yeah. You know, let's say hypothetically you made $1 million really quick, we'd be ecstatic as a business, right, and as people. Because that $1 million, we would get our cut, you would get your cut, and everything's good. Comes from a live account. There's no worry of the scale of payouts because it's all coming from live markets.
Yeah, and I can break it down a little bit more too. Mm-hmm. So I think when you compare us to somebody like FTT and then looking at us, we're two different business models in essence. Fast track trading was no stop loss on the trader, right?
Yeah.
Our risk is capped for our initial risk, right? Which is going to be the money we put into a brokerage.
Mm-hmm.
They, because they had nobody really going into brokerages, if you had a subset of good traders that all got together and traded in that firm, three or four traders could bankrupt the company, right? And we saw some of the internal communications where I think one guy was owed $1 million and they were like, well, yeah, we're just not going to pay him. And I'm like thinking, oh my God, that is the most unethical thing I've, you know, that's crazy to me, right? But that was kind of the cost of doing business for them because of the live sim environment. Yeah, when it's great, it's great. But if you get a good amount of good traders, mm-hmm, those traders can bankrupt the whole company. With us, our loss is capped, right? Meaning if one of those really good traders finds us, we'd love to have them. We want them in our firm because, look, our initial risk on them is 2K, 3K, not a big deal, right? Where some of these other guys, their risk could be unlimited, right? It's like having a trade with no stop. And that's the way to look at it is live sims are like having a trade with no stop. We have a very tight stop on our traders. And if, you know, if that trader comes in and they don't work out and we lose the 3,000, okay, well, it is what it is.
How many of those can you sustain though? I guess the question I'm asking is how well capitalized are you?
So I'm not going to share actual details, but I would say how many could we could probably sustain hundreds of failed traders. Like that's not going to.
Okay.
So, I mean, if that gives you any rough estimate of what we have as far as money to pay, but at the same time, we're generating revenue, right? So mm-hmm. We do have overhead with employees. You know, most firms start, you know, it's like a fly by night kind of operation. They don't have employees. We do have a full staff, right? So we do have that overhead, but we came in with enough capital, and that capital actually came from me. So, you know, those are all things that come into play, but that's why we set it up the way we set it. It's the best for the traders. It helps us be aligned with the traders. As far as putting people in brokerages, we're not going to have any problems, at least in the projected future, as long as we don't, like, surpass 1,000 traders and we're just not making money. That could, I guess, lead us into issues, but that's so far off.
And I suppose that makes sense then why you're trying to go the slower route as far as growing. You're trying to grow sustainably, it sounds like.
Well, that has a lot to do with the risk metrics, right? With how we're handling everything, how we have, you know, support. That comes more down to the support and the systems, mm-hmm. not necessarily the risk per trader, right? If the trader makes it through, they do well, they perform well, they get into a live brokerage, you know, as they start making money and they take payouts, we're recouping part of our cost,
right?
Through that profit split. So that's one way. And then as they continue to build their accounts and we add more size and, you know, they have more risk, you know, that profit split, you know, may adjust, but we're still covering our costs, right? So one or two good traders could actually cover the costs of 10 bad traders who don't make it in the live brokerage, right? But the speed and the cadence of our invite system was more related to one, people have gotten into systems and felt bamboozled once they were, like, you know, customer response times in 48 hours, 24
yeah.
hours.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Or, hey, if you want really good customer service, pay me $300 and maybe we'll make it a subscription thing. That happened in one of the firms. But we thought, look, if we're going to be a boutique type of style and we're really going to try to change the game, then let's really focus on the things that are our core, which is we need to have really good customer support. Anybody that reaches out to us, we need to be there for them. Coaching staff has to be able to actually coach people, right? We have to have the systems in place where we don't have issues, because a lot of the stuff that was built in-house, right, from mm-hmm. scratch. It's not APIs. It's not anything like that. It's all from scratch. Josh and Brandon, two of our main guys, built everything, right?
Wow.
So it's really making sure all those systems work really well and we can provide a level of service to the people inside of our ecosystem that's above everybody else, right? And if we don't grow fast, that's okay. It's okay for us to grow slow. Like we're not one of those firms that wants to like grow up over, like explode overnight. Cause then you have, for instance, Apex over hiring. And once you overhire, then all of a sudden, you know, they're changing rules and wanting you to like record your trading and all kinds of crazy stuff, right? That was a reactionary move from bad planning with overhiring, right? Because mm-hmm. now you have a very large overhead. Now you're trying to figure out, okay, well, now we have to cut costs somewhere else. Let's take it out of the traders' pockets, which is messed up, right? And again, their larger business model is not aligned with the traders, where when we're starting from day one, we're going to be aligned, you know, from day one. And as we build, you know, our trader pool, it's a lot easier for us versus someone big like Apex or any of these big firms, because they have so many traders. They have to go through the KYC, they have to go into the brokerage, they have to set up the brokerage accounts, they have to move the money. Like there's a lot of legwork that goes into it, right? So it's actually an advantage for us the way we started everything.
Well, Brian, you mentioned multiple times about being aligned with the traders, and there's one decision that you made that I'm curious the discussions that went into it. Was it a fight? Did you have to like pass this one past your funders, which I guess was you? But the one reset per account.
Yeah. So the thought, it wasn't a fight at all, because we're all aligned, Josh and I, on this for sure. Mm-hmm.
That's a big revenue stream, though, to say no thank you to.
Yeah, resets are a huge moneymaker. Like, that's the reality of it.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. Does it help traders? Letting a trader reset 5 times in a day, 10 times in a day, it doesn't help the trader. Does it hurt bottom line? Absolutely. But that's where we come in. It's like, judge us based on our decisions and our actions, not on all the fluff that gets said. You know, mm-hmm. look at the actions we've taken. If you have to reset, you're going to be on a timeout, right? You can't have more than 2 accounts. Could we let people trade 20 accounts? Absolutely. But does that help the trader? No.
No.
So why would we do that? It just, hopefully you get my passion behind what I'm saying. And it's mm-hmm. like, no, and it's so cliche to say this, but for traders, by traders, blah, blah, blah. You know, you hear that all the time, but right. It's so just used and abused. I don't want to say that. It's like, that's why I just say, look at our actions, look what we're doing, and make your own judgments on based on our actions, because actions speak a lot louder than words. Look at what we're doing. Look at how we're trying to do stuff and judge us on that. And what's funny is I think there's actually been some changes in renewals lately based on our introduction of the renewal.
Yeah, that was the one thing that Fast Track did that I liked was the one-time monthly fee. And I like what you guys have done with just having a renewal fee that's separate from the initial assessment cost. Because if you, the way I trade prop firms, and I'm probably not the person to point to, but I try to trade it the same way I would trade a live account, which means sizing things appropriately and grinding it away. And it may take me 2-3 months to get to a point where I can hit a target. And it just doesn't make sense to pay, you know, 3-4 months worth of fees when you're doing that.
That totally makes sense.
Yeah.
That was actually Josh's idea, so he can talk about that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think a lot of people are frustrated when they have to pay that fee again. They're nervous about it. They're like, oh, my renewal is coming up. I'm going to have to pay that big upfront cost again.
How many times have you made a shit decision like 2 days before that because of that upcoming fee?
Yeah, exactly. So we wanted to get rid of that fear of time because some people need longer and that should be supported. So we completely separated. We thought, okay, well, what's our costs? Let's try to bring it as close to our cost as possible for the renewal. Mm-hmm. Have the risk money up front. And then if you do need to reset again, which we only allow you to do limited, that also renews you. So you're not making these decisions. If you reset, you don't have to worry about, oh, my renewal is coming up anyway. You reset when it makes sense to you. And that gives you another 31 days when you do the reset.
Interesting.
So you don't have to get hit with the renewal and the reset. It's just the one fee.
Man, I'm a little worried for you guys. It sounds like you're taking away a lot of revenue streams.
we're not looking to drive Ferraris off the revenue stream of assessment. That's not what we're doing here. We are truly trying to improve the traders into a pattern where we are really treating this like a talent pool. In the future, we may branch off and have a hedge fund using the talent of these traders. That's nothing set in stone right now, but we're looking at this as an international talent pool of traders to come in and hopefully cover their own costs with their trading. You know, so again, if we put 2-3,000 in an account, an important metric for us is $10,000 internally, because if they take out $10,000, that usually covers the risk of the money we put into the account for them.
Yeah.
But also that $10,000 is a goal for the traders, because that's at the point where with two things open up for you. One is the buffer amount. You get full access to withdrawing it if you'd like. Which is that first few $1,000s at the full split rate. And the second part is, of course, hopping on our LLC for the K-1 benefits. So $10,000 is definitely is our first major goal for everybody.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about scaling, because it looks like your plans are also set up to automatically scale up with you. Is that correct?
It's not automatic, but it's guaranteed. So
guaranteed. Okay.
Yeah. So if we wanted to set a number that would make sense, that would make it so people wouldn't scale too quickly. But give them goals of, you know, they gain an extra few thousand in capital, you know, we'll bump up your daily loss limit and we'll bump up your contract size. And those are just the guaranteed amounts. We work with our traders one-on-one, and it can be bigger than that. Or if you don't want to increase your size, that's okay.
I was gonna say, yeah, can we have you take it down?
Yeah, it's not just going to start giving you more contracts. That's you contacting us within customer service, or us contacting you, because we see that you're trading really well, and we want to push people, obviously, to increase their size if they have a strategy that's working, they have effective risk management. And to loop back actually around to that, Brian mentioned how when they pass, we put them into a simulated buffer account until they basically bring it's the same target as their drawdown.
Right, right.
But if we notice that, you know, if you're trading for an extended period of time in the assessment and you're doing really well, there's several metrics we look at. But roughly speaking, if you're not hitting your daily loss limit ever and you're moving forward on your profit goals, and you're trading for a substantial period of time, we might make the decision to put you directly into the brokerage from your assessment. Really? So yeah, and that's another way we can adjust our risk, because the better we can get at predicting if a trader will have success immediately, instead of it becoming risk that's directly out of our pocket, that's put into a brokerage that's essentially already earmarked for you. We can mitigate that, start you at zero in the brokerage, and you know, you do that yourself in a live account. So at that point, that trader technically doesn't cost us anything. So the more predictive we can be about a trader's success, the more we can offset our risk.
If you move them ahead like that, does that mean that they are basically just automatically passed whatever stage they're in?
Yeah. So So whether we put you directly into the brokerage after you pass your assessment, or you go into that SIM buffer account, all this it's virtually identical to the trader, other than the executions aren't live. So again, you still have a soft daily loss, which we think is important all the time. And then there's no more minimum days to trade or anything like that. So it's the same parameters whether you go into either account. For us, it's just a way to, again, if we can predict based on your track record, if you give us enough data, that you have a better chance of passing or making a few thousand dollars instead of losing a few thousand dollars next, you know, that's the way we're going to do it. We're going to put you into the brokerage immediately.
Yeah.
And we cover one of those exchange, professional exchange fees. So, there's no real downside to the trader other than a little bit.
It's not
going to
cost me an extra couple hundred dollars out of nowhere.
No, right. Yeah. Exactly.
Good. Yes.
Unless you were trading more than one exchange, which we suggest, you know, keep it tight in the beginning. And then hopefully it's just a margin of error, a rounding error, I should say, on the fees when you're doing well.
We're getting kind of close to the end here, but I do want to ask about the coaches. You mentioned coaches, your quant, and I also saw it looked like one of the guys was streaming today on YouTube. He was doing like, what was it, a 1 to 100 CL challenge?
Yeah, that is our quant, actually. That's Assad.
That's
yeah, that's him.
Nice.
So he's worked in, so him and then BT was on there, and she doesn't work for us. She's independent, but she used to run a fund with the Fibonacci Queen, I think is her name.
Oh.
BT was the person that executed in that fund. Yeah, the two of them actually trade live together, and now they're doing it on our channel. So Assad, our quant, he is fantastic, not only at trading, but doing the analytics on trading. So if someone comes to us and we've done it, we do it already. And they're like, here's my strategy. I'm looking for this at these times. He'll code it up within a couple hours, throw it into a back test and be like, hey, you shouldn't trade this on this day. Or here's some extra context you should look for your trades. And that helps all of us. Right.
Yeah.
Because we can tell you, okay, look, not only are you losing on these days, statistically, you would lose on these days. Right.
Right. It's not unexpected.
Yeah. So obviously, you know, the machine that's going to make us the most money are the traders. So trying to focus on improving those traders and whatever they're doing, we're not trying to take anyone's strategies. Everyone has their own strategies, and it's hard to just look at someone else's strategies and start executing well on them.
I think it's impossible, I would say.
Yeah, yeah. Everyone thinks, oh, they're looking at how I'm trading and they're going to reverse engineer it. It's like,
no, you can hand them all your work and they will still fuck it up.
There was some famous trader that said that they could put the winning strategy on a billboard and no one would execute it right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but so that's what Assad is great at. And he is, he's trading in a live account. He's starting with, I think he's up to 3 contracts now. Every day he goes green, he adds another contract. For how much for his size for the day. And if he loses 2 days in a row, which is rare for him, he drops a contract and he's just going to keep going until he hits 100.
Has he ever traded 100 lots in CL before?
Yeah, he has. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I think one of
I'd
his
love
biggest...
to see that for the first time.
No, he's only trading 2 right now. And he's like, this is so dull because he's used to trading at least double digits. But when he's traded, you know, he's had trades, I think, you know, single trades intraday that of he's made 300,000 or 400,000 on. So
jeez,
he is fearless and he knows what
he
he's
doesn't
doing.
Mind he doesn't mind taking 2 hours to write up my silly impulse strategy that
no he loves it. He's addicted to it. Him and I both, I've you know, I'm a senior software architect, so I'm very much in the data world. He's just better than me at actually how quickly he can take someone's idea, turn it into a strategy and test it.
That's been the hardest part for me, is trying to figure out how to actually code up all of the variables, like trying to identify all the variables. It's not easy. And man, I'd love to bend his ear for a couple hours.
Yeah.
I'm sure I can give him a few things to test.
Yep. He, that's what we have him for. So, we've got that. We've got the amount of tech we're going to be putting out. I don't think anyone's going to really be able to keep up with us. You know, I'm the CEO, and I think there's a unique benefit that we have, as I'm the lead engineer as well as the CEO, where while Brian
CTO.
And I make, Yeah, well, but while Brian and I always make the decisions together, I can very quickly gauge what can be done, how quickly it can be done, and what should be done all in one brain. So I don't have to go over to a software development team, an offshore team, and say, "Hey, can you do this?" Things get lost in translation. It's like, no, I that this is that's my that's my strongest specialty is building the software. So the amount of stuff I'm going to put around process and feedback to traders is probably going to be pretty unmatched.
Okay, so the thing you have to watch out for, Josh, is you have to make sure your team is just as strong as you are, because you don't want to overestimate their abilities.
Yeah. No, yeah, we're building we are very careful about hiring, and we have an amazing team right now.
From what I've seen so far, it sounds like it. What about the community then? Is that only for like the Discord that you guys have put together? Is that only for people who are actively trading with you guys, or can they get in there now and start like making friends, meeting people, maybe
Totally
taking
open.
advantage of some of the community stuff that you guys have
Yeah,
talked about here?
absolutely. Come on in, ask questions. We're here to talk trading and any questions about the company.
Can I give out invites to that, or is that still are you still trying to trickle that?
Absolutely. Nope. Discord's fully open.
All right, then I will make sure there is an invite at the bottom of this episode. You just check out the show notes. There'll be a link in there. Do you guys have anything else about the Futures Desk that you'd like to say before we wrap up then?
No, I think we covered quite a bit. I'm sure we could go on for two or three more episodes, but
Well,
for
what we
now,
should
I think
do
this
is
is good.
put this out there then, and then I'll just take questions in our group. Especially if we can start getting some people invited over there and maybe checking it out. If I can collect up enough questions, we'll do another one of these. I'd love to build a good relationship with a prop firm that I actually believe is looking out for my interests. And that has been proving to be more difficult to find than you would think.
It's a
So
strange, it's a strange space right now. I don't know
I'm
what's going to happen
cautiously
regulatory,
optimistic.
but yeah, no, I appreciate that. And you should be cautious. This is a, there's a lot of predatory behavior in this space.
And look, trust takes a really long time to earn, and
Yes.
everybody's trust has really been just decimated, right? You trust in a company and they fold, or you trust in another one, and then all of a sudden they're changing rules on you and denying payouts. So like we know that trust has been eroded, and we know we're not going to have it from day one. It's earned. So it's our actions, it's what we do, and as we said, we're not looking to be the biggest. I don't think our model is sustainable to be like as big as, TopStep or any of these other guys, because we are a little bit more niche and more boutique and hands-on and really want to give that level of service. It's really not going to be matched elsewhere in the space, right? So if we're not the biggest, that's completely fine with us. And, that's okay with us. As long as everybody that comes to us is like, man, they offer me so much value. I feel like I get treated really well. I just, I can't say anything but good things about these guys. Like they have my trust, and that would be something that would really honor us if people actually trust us and we build that relationship with the community. And, 5 years from now, we have another one of these interviews, and we're still talking the same type of thing, and just a little bit bigger of a scale, But we'd love to maybe speak again in the future. Really hard questions. We love questions. We love feedback. We love discussing everything, because pretty much everything you may ask us, we've probably talked in depth for hours on end about and why we made decisions and stuff. Like everything we made a decision on based on what the trader's going to see or experience, we put a ton of thought into it. Like there is a lot of back and forth. We're very analytical people, so we spent a lot of time trying to make the right decision for the trader. And something that would be sustainable for us as well is because we are a business. So, there is that component that we need to be sustainable, right?
I think Josh probably said it best too. If you want to build that trust, then we're just going to have to keep watching your guys' actions. And I'll say right now, the actions that I've been seeing indicate somebody who really has, the traitor in their thoughts. The goal is for them to succeed. That's really what it looks like. And I really hope that that continues with you guys.
Thank you.
The other thing that I just want to point out before we wrap up here, the way that you guys put together the a la carte plans, the customization of it. I've never seen anybody do anything like that. But just to have that much freedom to be able to adjust how much risk do I want to take? How many contracts do I want? How long do I want this to take? Do I want to pay more up front? Do I want to pay more, at the back end if I pass?
Yeah, that was actually the brainchild of Josh. Josh is our idea guy a lot of times, and then he's the one that executed it and he pulled it off. So I'll let him dive into it. I just wanted to commend him on that because it really is special.
I just wanted to do the same.
Yeah, I mean it's just another point of making the trader feel comfortable and not feeling like, oh, I have to either choose between, again, not even to get into the whole 25K, 50K nature of how they name these programs.
Oh,
We
yeah,
did away
no.
with that as well.
2K, 3K, really.
Yeah,
Yeah. Yeah.
exactly. So, we didn't want to make people feel like, oh, maybe I should have gotten the bigger one or the smaller one, and I have this thing set in stone and they're trying to sell it to me as a product. And really, you're just trying to be like, look, come in, feel comfortable with what you're picking. Pick exactly what you want. If you want to compromise, if you want a less price, then you have full control over that. We wanted to just not force the trader into some sort of path that goes against how they want to trade.
Yeah,
It just
yeah.
doesn't make sense. So we figured out the math. We found a pretty good way to do it, and people love it.
I was a big fan. And yeah, that's one of the biggest selling points I think of you guys so far. That was before I heard though about your onboard quant and people are willing to back test my strategies for me. That's a big selling point too. Not gonna lie.
Yeah, no, it's big for us too. I mean, it helps our own trading. He's been building stuff for us. We're also gonna he does a ton of Sierra charts development.
Oh,
So
good.
we're gonna re if someone if you use Sierra charts, we're gonna be releasing with him a big library of free indicators that you usually have to pay for elsewhere. Some of them might look similar to other indicators that people charge for. And we're just
Yeah.
going to put it out there for free into the community for anybody
Interesting.
who wants it. And we'll just keep building up that library of free indicators that,
Freaking love that. So,
again,
yeah.
just trying to
It's a
encourage a
community, man. You're
community.
building the
Yeah,
community. Yeah,
exactly.
that's we got something like that in our community. Robert was kind enough to build some of our ideas into Sierra charts, and that was huge for us. Like, I still use some of those tools today. So, I love what you guys are doing, but I think this is probably time to get you guys back to work. Please join me in thanking Brian and Josh here for taking the time to chat with us. You can go to thefuturesdesk.com if you want to check out the offerings that they've got over there. You can also visit their YouTube channel if you want to watch the quant in action on his quest to 100 CL lots. You can stay up to date with the show by visiting bandoftraderspodcast.com, where you can browse our huge back catalog by guest. I'll be back soon with another exciting episode for you to like, share, and subscribe to. But until then, remember to I didn't write an outro for this. Fuck. remember to just have a great day.
I like that.
This podcast is intended for informational and educational purposes only. It does not constitute financial or investment advice and should not be construed as such. The hosts, guests, and contributors of this podcast are not licensed financial advisors, brokers, or professionals. Any trading or investment decisions made based on the content of this podcast are solely at the listener's discretion and risk. Trading and investing in financial markets carry inherent risks, and past performance is not indicative of future results. Listeners should conduct their own research and seek advice from qualified financial professionals before making any financial decisions. The views, opinions, and information shared in this podcast are those of the individual contributors and do not necessarily reflect the views or policies of the podcast creators or associated organizations.
Produced by China Shop Productions.